WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights. At least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning. DC time on a Thursday.
DC, tell us, 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's pretty early.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
And the other fact that can now be confirmed. Reliable source, Mrs. Crudy. Derek Van Orden's staff will offer you a beer, Miller Lights. At least they're not Bud Light, at 10:30 in the morning. DC time on a Thursday.
DC, tell us, 9:30 Central, Crudy. That's
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An overhaul of Wisconsin's alcohol regulations is on its way to the governor. The bill that got final approval in the Senate yesterday would create a new Division of Alcohol Beverages within the State Department of Revenue. The new division would enforce state laws covering breweries, wineries, and distilleries, not to mention retailers and distributors. The bill would require liquor licenses for wedding barns. Home caregivers are asking for help from the legislature and Wisconsin hospitals. A bill called the CARE Act would require hospitals to work more closely with caregivers.
And this part is key. When caregivers have the training and instruction they need, we can reduce costly readmissions to hospitals.
Martha Cranley is director of AARP Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Winter parking rules begin today in Chippewa Falls and Altoona. According to a Chippewa Falls Police Department Facebook post, parking rules are in effect until March, and vehicles will not be allowed to park on city streets or boulevards and some city lots from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. for more than 30 minutes. In Altoona, vehicles must park on alternate sides of the street depending on the calendar day, parking on the odd number side of the street on odd days and the even side of the street on even days. The Wisconsin State Senate has passed a bill to allow municipalities to apply for tens of millions of dollars in state grants to combat PFAS pollution. The funding for the municipalities would come from a $125 million fund established in the state budget to deal with the forever chemicals. Governor Tony Evers says he will veto the bill if it passes in the state assembly as well, arguing that the bill limits the Department of Natural Resources' ability to order landowners to clean up contamination. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Brewers have a new manager. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers making it official today. Pat Murphy is the new manager of the crew. He had been an assistant to Craig Counsell with the team since 2016. Murphy, who turned 65 later this month, gets a three-year contract through the 2026 season. They've also hired Ricky Weeks, former Brewers infielder, to a title of associate manager. Weeks has been a part of the team player development the past two seasons. NFL, the Packers back at practice. They host the Chargers Sunday at noon. College football, the Badgers take on Nebraska Saturday night. Wisconsin now 5-5. Luke Fickell making reference to a blockbuster movie from the 90s.
For our guys in particular is how do we move forward and how do we move on? And we don't have the old Men in Black little thing that we kind of zap and everybody could forget about it and continue to move forward. So it's a real challenge for your mind and the things that you allow to creep in that ultimately will continue to hold us back.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny and not windy today. We'll get to around 57 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be north, switching to the south this afternoon at around 5 to 10. Tonight down to 40. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and windy, 62. Then by Friday, it'll be sunny with a high of only 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 49.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Delighted to have you along with us. Greg Bach is with me in studio. Calvin on the board. Our colleague and producer at Civic Media, Anya Esther, is joining us. And you can always check in, too, if you like, at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Anya was at the really big March for Israel yesterday in Washington, D.C. Anya, you had a really late night. You got back after midnight at O'Hare, right?
That's right. Well, not O'Hare, but General Mitchell. We touched down late last night. We left from General Mitchell yesterday at 5 a.m., landed in Maryland, got on a bus, bussed our way into D.C. D.C. was incredible, and then back out all the way back to Milwaukee just before midnight. And then I thought I'd text you and say, you know what, Jane, I might sleep in. I might not see you in studio. Let me get that link. So that was my evening. Yeah.
What a day. My goodness. First of all, Anya, who did you travel with?
So I had the fantastic opportunity to travel with our local Jewish Federation, which is to say a group of Jewish people who got together and said, look, it is important that our community shows up for this. If you want to go, here is a subsidized rate for young professionals, essentially. So I traveled with 120 Milwaukee mostly, but also from all over Wisconsin, professionals aging from, I think, the youngest traveler with us was 9, and some of the folks with us were of an age where it would have been disrespectful to ask. So we had a wide variety of folks, and we also had folks, I should say, folks like me who are Reform Jews, which is to say, you know, practice is very relaxed, practice is very chill. We also had folks who had to delay boarding, not in a bad way, they just chose to get on after folks, because it was time for morning prayer, and that was uninterruptible. One of the guys I had the opportunity to interview said he'd never seen so many black hats and tattoos in one room before boarding with all of us. So that's who I traveled with, and then getting to DC, who I was with was incredibly 290,000 estimated attendees from all over America. People were talking about folks from the UK being there, other countries. It is insane.
Yeah. Some of the photos that I saw from yesterday, as you said, almost 300,000 people, and it was peaceful. There was no violence, at least not as of today. I haven't seen anything that there have been any reports of violence or anything. So that's good news. What, other than showing support for Israel, what was the message behind this march, Anya?
Right. The message behind this was that in the wake of the events since October 7th, the wake of the attack in Israel, anti-Semitism everywhere has spiked just to unprecedented numbers. The phrase that was used to discuss October 7th has been, you know, this was the deadliest day for, and every day since, we have seen levels of anti-Semitism events occurring, like the burning of a synagogue in Tunisia, the death of a Jewish protester in LA, in California. While these things are related to Israel, they are far more about the rampant anti-Semitism, the ways in which, unfortunately, a lot of people are using this opportunity or this occurrence as an opportunity to commit anti-Semitism. That was the message of this march. In addition to that, talking about still the 240 people who are being held hostage, there were mothers of hostages in attendance who spoke, including the mother of Hirsch Goldberg Polin, who is a young man, a leftist who was taken hostage. We know that he lost his arm that day, and we don't know that he has received medical assistance since being taken into Gaza. So all of these things were the topic, in addition to the topic of love for our community and growing that love in a time when there is growing hate, and saying we will always love each other and ourselves more than anyone can hate us for it. And it was like a breath of fresh air to be among so many people who were so diverse, so different. Yes, if we sat down and had long, long discussions, we would argue, but that's because we're Jewish. You know, that's family. That's what happens. But it was about, it's a time in all of this war, in all of this ugly violence, it is a time for love, and it is a time for taking care of each other. So, yeah.
And I assume it was people of all faiths that were in, not just people of the Jewish faith, but people of all faiths.
That's right. Some of the speakers were Christian activists, Muslim activists. As well, I know that the attendees came from a wide variety of backgrounds, not just the diversity of Jewish backgrounds, but the diversity of Christian backgrounds, Muslim backgrounds, a ton of atheists, I'm sure a ton of Buddhists and Baha'i folks. It was truly, truly an incredible display.
If you're just joining us, Anastasia Esther is our guest. She's our colleague here at Civic Media, producer for numerous programs, including the wonderful Maggie Dawn Show, which you can hear Monday through Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. And Anya was in Washington, D.C. yesterday among hundreds of thousands of people marching for Israel. We talked a little bit off the air, Anya, with this horrible situation between Israel and Hamas, and how sometimes, because you are Jewish and you are open about practicing your faith, people come to you and expect you to be able to answer on behalf of the entire nation of Israel. And can't you just, you know, call Bibi Netanyahu for me and
yeah,
figure, you know, can't we?
Yeah, I got him on speed dial.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
But people do make that assumption that your opinion is going to be representative of all opinions. And that's just not the case.
Right. Right. That's exactly it. And it was that was a lot of the discussion yesterday, was how so many of us, the wide diversity of world Jewry, each of us had experiences of meeting someone who said that they'd never met a Jewish person. And now it was time for that individual, that one person, to answer the questions and do the education and be the voice. And here's a crowd of, like you said, not all of them are Jewish, but I, from what I've read, at least, or an estimated 100,000 of those were college students.
Wow.
In attendance.
Wow.
So college students who are going to college in places across America, across the world, meeting someone who goes, "You are the first Jewish person I've ever met. Now it's time for you to explain."
Yeah.
And part of the fervor of yesterday was all of us going, "Oh, thank goodness I don't have to explain myself to anyone here. I know why you're mourning. I know why you're having a hard time. Let us just continue on with this day together and not have to think about all the explanations we've had to give in the previous days."
Well, and much like Christianity, there are different
yes,
sects of Judaism, right?
Yes.
You know, Christianity has
absolutely
evangelicals and Lutherans and Catholics and Unitarians, and Judaism also has its different breakdowns.
That's right. Yes. And to talk about that a little bit, we did see kind of one of the stronger, one of the quite more obvious delineations in that difference in practices. You know, we had folks there who were ultra Orthodox. Like I said, folks whose morning prayer, they were like, we will board in just one moment. We just have to finish this up. But there were also members of a group that I've discussed before named Naturi Karta, who are extreme ultra-Orthodox. They're part of a group known as the Satmars, which is like you have ultra-Orthodox, and then within that, a tiny group called Satmars, and an even tinier group that is this Naturi Karta. For most people, you'd be familiar with Satmars. That's the group that is shown in the Netflix show Unorthodox.
Yes.
You have the young woman shaving her head before her wedding, and now everyone's like, Anya, when you get married, will you shave your head? And it's like, no, please, no.
Only if I
totally
want
different
to.
Thing. Only if I think it looks good with the dress.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But within that extremist group that some of America is familiar with from that show is a group named Naturi Karta, who was present not within the march, but outside. And that's really the only group that showed up and tried to be like, hey, this isn't right. And they had signs that said, like, authentic rabbis wouldn't support this. And then there's a couple hundred thousand, not 100,000, but a couple thousand rabbis on the other side going, well, we support a wide variety of different things, friend, including each other. Yeah. So
I am baffled by that.
We all are. And I'll say this. Orthodox rabbis especially are very well spoken. And when you ask them something, they'll often pause to make sure that they have a good long answer that often has many more questions within it. When an Orthodox rabbi two rows behind me was asked about this group later, one of the people who was with us had no idea who they were. All I heard from the guy was, no, they're a whack job. So
that's just
a very quick, I mean, coming from people who otherwise would give you about a 15-minute spiel on it. There you go.
It makes sense.
We're all baffled.
When you change the scenario, if you have people marching for, you know, peace and freedom and justice, you can have Christians standing outside and like, this is not America. You are not America. We are the ones who are America because we believe in X, Y, and Z. And we are also whack jobs.
Whack jobs, yeah.
If you have a question or a comment, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Again, keeping in mind that Anya is not here to speak on behalf of the government of Israel or Bibi Netanyahu or any of that. She was an attendee yesterday at a huge, huge, almost 300,000 people march for Israel yesterday in D.C. Can you stay with us through the break?
Of course. Yes, I'd love to.
Wonderful. Because I do want to talk. You had mentioned that among the speakers that you heard yesterday were some Muslims. And I would love to hear what message they had to share during all of this conflict and all of this death and all of this mess. It's just a mess. All right. We will be right back. I hope you will stay with us. 844-967-2789. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, and we are across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
One, two, three, four. Everybody's talking about bagging.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board. Anya Esther, our colleague and fellow producer here at Civic Media, is joining us. And if you would like to watch on the stream, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And you can always check in, leave a call or a text at 844-967-2789. Anya yesterday attended the March for Israel that was in Washington, nearly 300,000 people. And again, as of this morning, I haven't seen any reports of any violence or any incidents or anything like that. So that's always wonderful when you get a group together of that size. Anya, you had mentioned that among the speakers yesterday were some followers of the Muslim faith. Can you share some of what their messages were?
Yeah, so one of the phenomenal speakers, and I should say everyone who spoke was so moving and so great, but one of those speakers was Anila Ali. She's an American Pakistani activist and American politician, and her speech was a call for folks who are Muslim to examine if what they are participating in is freedom for Palestinians or if it is anti-Semitism. And a lot of her speech examined this idea, and it's something that I've spoken about on the Maggie Dawn show as well, this idea that there are many sides to this. A lot of people want there to just be two, but there are many sides to this. And there are people who are members of the Muslim faith who are choosing to engage in things that they believe to be anti-Zionism, engaging in things that they believe to be against the Israeli government as a way of protesting in favor of the Palestinian folks, but a lot of it, unfortunately, becomes anti-Semitism. For example, the burning of the synagogue in Tunisia, the folks who did that are claiming that they did it because, you know, this is what Islam would want, and this is that, and this is against Israel, when really, of course, it is just anti-Semitism. So she had a great quote from the Quran in her speech where she said, and do not let the hatred of a people prevent you from being just. Be just. That is nearer to righteousness. And that's Quran 5:8. So her speech was very moving and a very empowering call for something similar to what I've been discussing, which is folks who claim to be pro-Israel when really they are just Islamophobic. And they see this as an opportunity to engage in hatred against Muslim folks. This is, as I said earlier, how this march was also about confronting the anti-Semitism people have engaged in. She was also calling out rightfully and loudly the continued Islamophobia and the anti-Semitism happening in this. So that was very moving and very powerful.
That was something I wanted to bring up, and I was trying to find just the most correct, respectful words for it, because what I see are a lot of politicians who raise their fist in pro-Israel while not doing enough to delineate the difference between Hamas and men, women, and children in Palestine who just want to live.
Yeah.
And did you see that sort of support there as far as people saying, you know, for lack of a better term, we are all one, we are all love, we are all one people? You know, I mean, it's such a hard needle to thread.
Yes, it is. It is. And I will say outright, many, many, many of the speeches, and I'll be, you know, I was running around with my camera, so I didn't listen intently to every single one. But many of the speeches, not just implied, but outright said, the Palestinian people deserve and need freedom. There are Palestinian people who are dying and suffering because of things that have nothing to do with them. That is wrong, period. So a lot of the speakers, several of the politicians, and the vast majority of attendees who I spoke to, that was their feeling. And tonight on the Maggie Dawn Show, I'll have some more interviews that I conducted with folks in the airport on the way home. And many of them said the exact same thing. This has to be an equal response where we are helping, saving, rescuing the lives of the Palestinians who are in Gaza, who have been suffering for so long, in addition to everything else that is happening, in addition to the hostages being held by Hamas, in addition to all of this. We have to be vocal and we have to be present for the Palestinian people. I think the not caveat isn't the word, but the feeling that came with that was so many Jewish people feel that they have heard their friends speak on that side and not for the anti-Semitism that they've mm-hmm. experienced. And that is a feeling mm-hmm. that's not inherently a fact. But many of the people I spoke with more so wanted to express, we are so in favor of peace for everyone. We are so in favor of peace for everyone. We are hurt that we are not hearing people be in favor for peace for Jews as well. Yeah. And that was a lot of what we wanted to cover yesterday. Was we must, because it is our community, be vocal for ourselves. If not us, who will? Mm-hmm. And in addition, all people should be safe. All people should be free. And specifically stated, the Palestinian people as well. So, yeah, I hope that kind of answers that.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
And as you said too, Anya, this is such a complicated quagmire that goes back decades and decades and decades. And the assumption that, you know, and that's why I think Greg and I have kind of avoided this subject, because it is so complicated and there's so mm-hmm. much nuance to it. And I don't want to step out and say, well, this is what I think they should do, because I don't know enough about the history of these conflicts and all of the different angles and nuances and players that have been involved in this for decades and decades and decades.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, for me, I want the Palestinians to have peace and a home. I want Israelis to have peace and a home. I want the politicians who are using this as ammunition to be voted out, kicked out, whatever. Yes. And those who are combating innocent people to be brought to justice. And you only need to say that once, because after that, it's right. It's the nuance of it all. It's like, I don't know the foreign policy. I'm not going to get into it. And I feel like once you do that, people start screaming at you because you're not on their side. I'm like, well, okay, fine.
Yeah, that's the feeling. And I will go into more of the nuance and things like this evening on Maggie Dawn's show, because I am solo hosting for her as she's dealing with Lord knows what, some lawyerly stuff beyond my pay grade.
So you're going to host but that tonight?
I am, yes. Yeah. So I'm going to talk more about my experiences. I'm going to play some clips from some fantastic interviews I recorded. But Jane, I think your statement is right. There's a lot of people who don't know the players, who don't know the history, who are getting very vocal and saying what they think should happen. Yeah. And I very much appreciate the opportunity to come here. I'm not an expert on it either. I'm just one person who was there. But I appreciate the opportunity to come and talk to folks and folks who want to hear more. Maggie Dawn tonight, 6 to 7. And
Anya Esther, it has been such a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so very much. I'm glad you had a safe journey. And as she said, to make sure you join her tonight at 6 o'clock as she steps into the big chair for Maggie Dawn from 6 to 7 o'clock tonight. Stay with us when we come back. The Holiday Folk Fair is this weekend at Wisconsin State Fair Park. We're going to talk about that. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5, The Tap.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There's a run on new opportunities for high-speed internet in rural Wisconsin. The state has $42 million worth of grants to give out, but the number of applications it got asks for more than $221 million. More than 251,000 locations in Wisconsin still lack service, and about as many have internet that's considered below current standards. Governor Evers is lifting lockdowns at state prisons in Waupun and Green Bay. Inmates have been confined to their cells since spring because of safety concerns and not enough guards. Inmates will soon get access to more prison programs, and some inmates in Waupun will be moved. The governor says he's also keen on hiring more guards. Starting pay for those jobs went up to $33 an hour in the new state budget. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. In a letter to the county administrator, Chippewa County District Attorney Wade Newell says there is insufficient evidence to determine if criminal charges against Chippewa County Sheriff Travis Hakes are warranted. The DA said his office would not be able to make that determination until a complete investigation was finished. In response to the letter, Sheriff Hakes said, quote, "I knew I did nothing criminal. It's disheartening that there was even an implication that I might have. I took an oath and I take that seriously." The Wisconsin State Legislature passed a bipartisan measure on Tuesday to overhaul the state's liquor laws and create new regulations for wedding barns. The measure would create a new division within the State Department of Revenue to oversee and enforce liquor laws and require special event venues to either limit the number of times they serve alcohol in a year or obtain a liquor license. The Assembly passed the measure with an 88-10 vote, and the Senate passed it 21-11. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Brewers hire a new manager. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers making it official today. They've promoted bench coach Pat Murphy to manager of the team, replacing Craig Counsell. Former Brewers infielder Ricky Weeks hired as associate manager. And last night, the Brewers trading two minor league players to the Phillies for infielder Oliver Dunn. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight in Toronto to take on the Raptors. Milwaukee coming off that win at home against the Chicago Bulls. NFL, the Packers getting ready to play the Chargers on Sunday. Green Bay has lost four of their last five games, but how did quarterback Jordan Love perform against the Steelers? Matt LaFleur.
Well, I thought he was playing with a lot of confidence. I thought he was pretty decisive, made some big time throws down the field. You know, he kept fighting and battling and gave us an opportunity right there at the end of the game and obviously came up short. But, you know, I just see a guy that continues to grow and develop and learn and, you know, takes the coaching really well.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny and not windy today. We'll get to around 57 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be north, switching to the south this afternoon at around 5 to 10. Tonight down to 40. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and windy, 62. Then by Friday, it'll be sunny with a high of only 40. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Top U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap.
Hey.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matt Nair in for Kristen Bry. Calvin is on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio and also joining us in studio. Delighted to have him here. The president and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin, Paul Trevian. Good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
So nice to have you here. We're going to talk all things Holiday Folk Fair, which is this weekend at Wisconsin State Fair Park in West Dallas. I love this event. It's been around for a very, very, very long time. What has changed? What's going to be new this year, Paul?
Well, the big news is it's 80 years of Holiday Folk Fair.
It's 80 years this year.
80 years.
Wow. And,
International Institute of Wisconsin that hosts it has been around for 100 years.
That's great.
So this is absolutely wonderful to have the 80th year. And the theme for this year is celebrating the culture of traditional dress, which is real near and dear to my heart. So I'm real excited about that. That's a new thing that happens every year. We're also trying to make sure that we keep things familiar. You know, the footprint.
People have their favorite things, yeah. Right? You don't want to go messing, yeah. Start messing with things, and they're right. Going to get very upset.
But at the same time, you know, as we go on in years, we'll get inclusive and take note of, like, what are some possible things, you know? So we'll take a look at that. But this year, we're going to be very much the same, and I'm really looking forward to the traditional dress this year.
I highly encourage you to jump on the stream if you can, so you can check out what Paul is wearing, and he's going to explain it to us a little bit. But you can watch us on the live stream on Facebook, Twitter, and on YouTube. So tell me, first of all, Paul, a little bit about your background.
All right. Well, I'll talk about the connection to IIW, International Institute of Wisconsin. I've been a board member for 10 years. And I stepped in as interim when we had a leadership transition, and then I threw my head in and competed and became president in June. So I've been at the helm now for a little while, but I've been around with the Institute for quite a bit of time. And Holiday Folk Fair has always had a special place in my heart because it's a place where we can actually celebrate and do what I have, my personal mission, which is my mother always told me that we're supposed to let everybody know we're here. I'm a Tlingit Indian from Native Alaskan from Alaska, Southeast Alaska, around Juneau.
Okay.
And the regalia that I'm wearing right now is all about remembering in our culture. And so if you look at the headdress, there's like a fish, a stylized fish. That's actually represents an ancient shark symbol, shark clan. And then if you look at the back of my vest, which you can't see it right now, you'll see eagle. And that's for Eagle House. And so the eagle in the front here on the bib also is more of a specially symbolized emblem for the tribe as well. So Shark Clan, Eagle House. And then my name is Long Seafaring Bird, and that's pronounced Khtekik. And so when you actually put that together, you mentioned your mother's name, and my mother's name is Little Eagle, Dotkutiz. So the greeting is Khtekik Chaak Wushkitan Dotkutiz Ayahat, which means I am Long Seafaring Bird, Eagle House, Shark Clan. My mother is Dotkutiz. Now, when you say that in the culture, now they know exactly where I came from.
Okay.
And they know all about me because it's a matrilineal society. So I'm charged by my grandmother and my mother to let everybody know that we're still here. So that's the reason why you see the regalia. Now, another thing that's really special about this is that you noticed it. You actually asked about it. That actually honors my mother. So thank you very much. That gets me to the biggest word in Tlingit, which is thank you. And it's gunach chish. Gunach chish. So gunach chish for honoring my mother. So.
You are most welcome. I'm just a nosy person, Paul.
Take the compliment.
Well, but I think sometimes people are hesitant to ask. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to offend anyone. You mm-hmm. don't want, do you want me to notice that or should I not notice that? Yeah. Should I make a big deal out of it or should I not make a big deal out of it? And it's really beautiful, and I can't imagine the hours it takes to do the beadwork on something like that.
Oh, yes. My mother made all of it.
She did.
And it's a lot of love in here. And she was remembering her grandmother and her mom and when she was putting it together. And so a lot goes into it. Now, that's a great segue into, like, why do we do Holiday Folk Fair? the mission of the Institute is to promote education and understanding. Holiday Folk Fair is an extension of that, that we are bringing people together to educate them and allow people to celebrate heritage and culture and have a venue where you can feel comfortable to ask the questions, because people are in their booths celebrating their culture, their heritage, the traditional dress. They'll even talk language like I do. And then, of course, there's the dancing on the main stage. And, of course, you got to burn some calories, so you got to have food. And the food is absolutely wonderful there.
Paul Tribbian is our guest. We're talking about this weekend's Holiday Folk Fair that's happening at the Wisconsin State Fair Park Expo in West Allis. He is the president and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin, which runs the folk fair. Speaking of the food, and we've talked about this very often on this show.
We talk about food a lot.
We do. But just the importance of having a meal or sharing food with people who are different than you is one of the best ways to open doors. We all eat. We all, you know, we can all appreciate yummy things from from each other's cultures. And I think that literally sets the table for different relationships.
Oh, yes. And that's one of the beauties of Holiday Folk Fair. It allows us to have the venue for us to discover the similarities in our food and the differences. And so celebrating the differences, like, wow, I didn't know that would taste like that, or I have to have more of that. Next year, I'm going to come back for that. And they seek it out. And then sometimes there's stories behind the food, the way it's prepared. And then, of course, just the pure enjoyment of it. I mean, when I talk to people about Holiday Folk Fair, the first thing they talk about is, like, oh, I remember going there as a kid, you know, through the school. We have an education day on Friday. And, I was there. I got naturalized. So we have a naturalization service, you know, on Friday.
Oh, how wonderful. Yeah. That must be so emotional.
It is. It really is. And this year we have 319 people are going to be naturalized at 2 o'clock on Friday. So this is a time for a celebration. It really is. And it's an accomplishment. It's the end of getting that naturalization done, but it starts another journey now, because you know you have another aspect to your life, another characteristic, another aspect that you can act upon. So that's why it's so special, and it's so neat to have that. So it's at 2 o'clock on Friday, and
members of the public are invited to attend or no?
Yes, it is. It's limited seating.
Okay.
So it's primarily for the folks that are getting naturalized and they have their families. And so there's limited seating, but we do have dignitaries to come and observe and whatnot. So, but it's really neat to come there for the opening ceremony on Friday and then come every day, look at the dance groups. Feel free to ask the questions. I think that's what you brought up, a good point, which is sometimes you do feel uncomfortable. Am I going to offend anybody? Well, this is a place to say, I love this. I wonder what this is about.
Tell me about it.
What do you call it? Like for me, the technical or the language term of the regalia is at'u, which is our art, which is what we use to communicate the history. If you remember, recall in some of your social studies as a kid, a lot of the native tribes didn't have written language. It was all oral.
Passed down to generations.
And so that's what we did. We told stories with our regalia. And so it's very, very important, the identity. And I think that as we discover other people's identity and their culture and heritage, we start discovering, like, hey, I have that too. And if your grandma is still around, you can ask your grandma now intelligent questions, you know. So that's wonderful.
You know, that's something I've thought about a lot in the past couple of years, is that, you know, when you, as you know, I come from immigrants down the line. My family comes from Poland and Germany, but at some point we lost our culture. We lost, and not to get too serious, but it's like the promise of being American was more important or easier than really holding on to the aspects of our culture, whether it be food, dance, language. My grandmother spoke fluent German, but because of the war, she couldn't. And I just think of if we looked into our culture and studied just even the basic things, just like the food, the dance, the music, and appreciated that, it allows us to appreciate others who are seeking to protect theirs. Mm-hmm. It allows us to show empathy and allows us to show kindness and family to them, to say like, yeah, all of our cultures are important and we need to know them and understand them. And you have every right to know yours and understand yours. And it's important you do.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love your account of that, because there are so many times where we get caught up in the modern age, and it's important to look back. But I, instead of looking back and dwelling on the past, it's more about like, what can I discover of the past that is helpful and meaningful for today?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And like you were talking about the values and what makes us who we are. And we take, when we discover somebody else and fellowship with them, become friends with them, you've probably noticed that we actually start becoming like our friends a little bit. And so we can adapt things and use that as a link, create linkage between groups. And I think that if we actually use that to find the commonality and celebrate those common things, but then take a look at our differences in the light of like, hey, let's celebrate our differences. Oh, maybe we could use our differences to solve problems together. And so we can use our culture to actually foster peace and understanding. So it begins with something really simple. Let's go to Holiday Folk Fair. Let's celebrate together.
Honestly, you mentioned it before, the kids thing. Like I went there, I think it was 3 years in a row with my grade in middle school. And, you know, it was, I mean, I remember having fun running around, seeing the colors and the people and the food and the smells and everything. And now it's like, I'm an adult. I'm like, I want to go back. I want to see it and really take it in. So,
Paul, do you have, and I know this is like asking you to pick a favorite child, but what are some of your favorite foods that you've had at the Holiday Folk Fair over the years?
Oh man, I can't list them specifically because there's so many favorites, but I would have to actually say a category. The category is desserts. I always seek out the desserts. And part of the reason too is that in the past I would participate as one of the performers and dance. Well, when I'm dancing, I'm burning off sugar, so I can go get some more.
Absolutely.
You know? It's just absolutely wonderful, wonderful time. Sitting back and looking at the main stage, and then also they'll play like past performances in between, you know, that type of thing. And this year we have we're putting together a display of traditional dress as well. So we're working on that. So that's a little bit different. Getting back to the main theme, we did this in an inclusive manner, and people got excited when we were looking at the theme. And when it came up, traditional dress, I got so excited, because you've heard a little bit now of like, it's part of my own purpose is to remind people that we're still here. But what I found is that as I look at all the other cultures there, like the European cultures, they have a lot of embroidery, and it has a lot of meaning, family meaning.
Sure.
And I remember seeing children in a friendship circle where they put their hands together, and then you see all their embroidered sleeves, and it's just absolutely wonderful when you see that.
Well, we are just about out of time. It's this weekend, the Holiday Folk Fair Expo Center in West Dallas. What are the hours, Paul?
It starts at 10 o'clock most days, but 9 o'clock for Friday for the education day. And so come.
We'll get all the links in the show notes afterwards. It was delightful to meet you. Your costume is really beautiful, and we will love to talk to you more. Make sure you go to the Holiday Folk Fair this weekend. Again, we'll get it all posted in our show notes. Paul Trebian has been our guest. He is the president and CEO of the International Institute of Wisconsin. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you so much.
Stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk a little baseball with Mike Clemens from Civic Media. Don't go away.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap
in Greenfield. Visit roberthackdiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Buck with me in studio. Kelvin is running the board, and you can always chime in. 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
Or you can join us on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. I did want to just share this one message from Linda Akola Atkins. We just had Paul Trebian on from the Holiday Folk Fair, which is this weekend in West Dallas. And she just said, great interview. Thank you. My culture is Swiss German, and nothing got passed down except for the recipes.
Hey, that's a start.
It is a start.
That's a great start.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to move on. Mike Clemens is our sports reporter at Civic Media, and there was some more baseball news this morning, Mike, right?
Yeah, but man, the folk fair is the best, isn't it?
It is. It really is.
My kids every year, oh, man, you know, it's great. Just sample foods from all over the world and then watch all of, you know, the dancers and the costumes and the customs from all around the world. It's a great escape.
Do you have a particular food that you can remember really enjoying, Mike?
Yeah, I go to the Middle Eastern countries often, you know, and, you know, things wrapped in grape leaves and that kind of thing. It's different, unique, and got pretty good taste to it. I don't think I've actually had a bad piece of food there. You know, you wander over into Germany, and that takes care of some of the desserts, you know. I can go on and on.
Yeah, that German food also just puts you to sleep.
Well, it's rarely light and fluffy, the German food, because I'm from a German background, too. So it tends to be a little bit heavier, but yummy nonetheless. All right, let's talk about Pat Murphy and the Brewers.
Okay, so Craig Counsell just drops a bombshell by saying, okay, I'm leaving the Brewers. And it wasn't for the Mets, it was for the Cubs.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so Mark Antanasio, I got on the teleconference that he had with just a few reporters. And, I mean, he was asked, the first question from one of the lead beat reporters from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So, Mark, your reaction after getting that phone call from Craig today. He said, well, you know, we employ 400 employees at American Family Field. We donate millions of dollars to, and he starts listing off these causes. It's like, he's reading this off a prep sheet, you know? It's like, dude, you just lost Craig Counsell to the Cubs. And so three or four questions later, we followed up, and you could tell he was shocked, shell-shocked, that Craig was in fact leaving, but also just going to a division rival. It's kind of exposed where the Brewers are a little bit. So I think he's trying to, you know, batten down the hatches and hang on. And so he hires the bench coach that Craig Counsell brought to Milwaukee, Pat Murphy. And Pat is going to be 65 later this month. It's a three-year deal, which that'll take him up to 68. It could be a great send-off as a retirement from his baseball career. They're also bringing in Ricky Weeks, the former infielder. He's now 41. I'd seen Ricky hanging around the facility like the last two seasons or so.
Oh, really?
And he's been like an assistant for player development. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the thing where, you know, you bring up a kid from the minors, so you get him an apartment, you show him the major league way, you know, the routine, that kind of thing. He's been named the associate manager. So there's a press conference tomorrow, and that'll be one of the first questions we'll have. It's like, so what exactly does that mean? You still want to be a development guy, or is this a training ground to be a manager someday? Who knows? They're keeping all the staff. So I think probably the way Mark operates, and Matt Arnold, the new general manager the last year or two, is they're saying to that whole staff, hey, stay here in Milwaukee. You know these players. Whoever wants to compete for this job, you know, when Pat retires, it's all yours. I think that's the dynamic the Brewers are going with right now.
I mean, is that a smart – I mean, I guess if he's got a three-year deal and he lasts all 3 years, isn't it make more sense then after that to maybe like look outside the organization for fresh eyes then? Because, you know, having come up under Craig Counsell is great because he knows the way Craig thinks. He can manage in a style that's the same but also bring his own style. But then he just kind of at one point want to pump some new blood into it.
From the outside, you're right. I think it looks stale.
Yeah.
From the inside, it's a panic move.
Gotcha.
And also, what they've already hired four or five other managers. I mean, the top of the board is already gone. That's what's amazing about all this. And so, right, and you know that they're going to be losing players. Probably Corbin Burns.
Oh yeah.
You know, Brandon Woodruff had the surgery on the shoulder. He's out all next year. So they're going to be, you know, scrambling for that lineup. And I think the best thing Mark can do is and pitch to the fans is, look, we got to the playoffs. We don't want to change that group that got us to the playoffs, you know, minus Craig Counsell. So we're trying to do the best we can to keep what we got going until we figure out what's next.
I can say, though, as a fan, my thing is, that's great, but I want to see my team go beyond the first round. We were talking about this earlier, and I said I think it's a good thing. I do think it's a good thing for 1 year because you know he left, he's gone, so we gotta get someone in there and plan for a future that has a real rebuild now, because now we're going right back into a rebuild, and that's the terrible thing because I don't want us to suck, but it seems like we're not going to be as great.
There will be some growing.
There'll be adjustments.
There will be adjustments, absolutely. And real quickly, Mike, so the stadium deal is pretty much done. What do you think?
You know, I haven't covered much of that, and those guys around the clubhouse did not talk about it as much. I'm kind of surprised by some of the people in Madison that were actually championing that cause, but it's one less thing for that franchise to worry about. But I'll tell you, Jane, maybe I'll come back sometime a little later, because that whole backstory, you know, Council said the other day, he'd been thinking about this for the last 2 years.
Really?
Last 2 years.
Yeah.
Yes. And the Cubs were the first to call him. And he's like, I get the money I want. I get a chance with a franchise that has far more resources than what the Brewers have shown in 20 years. And if I can win a World Series in Chicago, I might get into the Hall of Fame someday.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I thought with the Mets, too. I figured the Mets, he could work with David Stearns again, and he could also have more money and exposure. But... Yep. Yeah.
As it turns out, he never really considered the Mets.
Gotcha.
Well, all right, Mike, we got to go. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. We will talk again soon, my friend. Stay close for the noon news, followed by the wonderful Todd Allbaugh Show. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, all of you, for listening and calling and texting. Very much appreciated. Stay right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W22 AD P. Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere.